Short introduction. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Joshua. I have a family. My wife is at the back over there in the dark. Say hello. Yes. And that's my daughter who's in the window, like on sale. And then the younger one is on discount. Yeah, seriously. Buy one, get one free. Okay. And we are currently missionaries for the last 7 years in Thailand, in a place called Chiang Mai. We are based there. We helped serve the church over down there. This is some of the stuff that we've been doing, but not just in Chiang Mai. We've also been moving around to different parts of Thailand, ministering in all sorts of different ways, from children ministry to youth camps. And in fact, ironically, I'm not doing much youth now, but even though I'm not fully doing youth, people keep asking me to do youth stuff. So I'm here again. So we do all that. And we are independent missionaries. KUS is our sending church, but because we are independent and we want to have the freedom and autonomy to do what God says in any way, in any aspect of ministry, so we are independent and we raise our own finances. So we come back once a year, we meet up with our supporters, we raise the funds that we need to for ourselves and for our ministry in Thailand. Okay, I don't have much time, and I am half to blame for the fact that we don't have enough time, because things got. And I also blame Ben. Actually, I love the fact that it's warmed my heart to see Ben and Sam up here. I've known, we call you Pastor Sam, right? What's called Pastor Sam, right? I've known Pastor Sam since he was primary six. Okay, I was his Sunday school teacher. So you can guess how old I am. And I was also his first cell leader, and I used to scold him and Ryan Thomas. Where's Ryan Thomas? I saw you just now. Cannot run away one. Yeah. Scold him and Ryan Thomas all the time. Sitting in his exact same pews, I'll ask him, why you keep talking in church? And like, why you don't listen to sermon? Why you don't worship? So lots and lots of things. And it warms my heart and makes me very proud to see Sam and even, and Ben Chua also coming up here. Ben has had an interesting journey in his own faith walk, and I'm so blessed to see him serving now. Okay, very, very quickly, we will go to a sermon, and I'm going to like zoom through it. And I was asked to preach this because Pastor Peter said, oh, we've got mission teams going out, you have outreach and things like that coming up. So we're going to talk a little bit about what we need to do in order to be effective out there in the field, whether it's missions or otherwise. So I'm just titling this short sharing. It's now going to be a very short sharing. Things are not always what as they seem. And just recently we had a youth camp in Thailand, and one of the things that they served us was this lovely soup. Yeah. And it's called the red ant soup. And at the beginning, it was quite fun, lah. My daughter and another Korean girl were like, oh, what's this? So I said, you try. And then they were like, my daughter being knowing me, she's like suspicious. What is this? Like, no. But the Korean girl was like, oh, I tried. Yummy. So, you know what this is? What? It's red ant, not just red ant and red ant larvae soup. So it's the eggs of the red ant and the baby ant larvae, and they boil it in the soup, and they make it with sometimes a spinach and other, and watercress, and there's a soup. And it's awesome. It's so nice. I'm not kidding you. It's very delicious. And to all of us here, it's like, why you do that? Why you eat all these kind of funny things? But there's a rationale behind it. There's a reason behind it. And the main reason is that it's a good source of protein. It's a cheap, free, good source of protein that can be easily found. Once you cook it, it's still as hygienic as ever. And no one ever says, why you eat chicken? So, why you eat ant? So, and some kids here also, like, you stop your daughters or your sons from, like, picking up things and putting it in their mouth anyway. But the point here I'm trying to make is that sometimes a lot of, we kind of judge people on, and we say and gross about the way other cultures or other people who are different, and I didn't say like lesser or whatever, different from us, do things, and we judge it. Or we have our own preconceived notions, preconceived ideas of what is normal. And because of what we know as normal, we suddenly go into a situation and go, And immediately, you put a wall between yourself and the people you're trying to reach out to. Alright? So, I want you guys to be very, very clear about this, and it's very important that things are not always as they seem whenever you go into any kind of situation, whether it's an outreach, whether it's in ministry, counseling somebody, helping your friend, going on a mission trip, going to do your outreach. I don't know what outreach you guys are going to do next month anyway, so maybe Tina can tell me more about that later. But things are always very different, and the dynamics are all very different. Johan, or whoever, can you please play the video that I sent? It's a very simple and short video. Why am I looking at myself? This is a youth camp that my wife and I and some of our Thai friends went to help at. It's a Karen Hill Tribe youth, and it's not me. Yeah, here we go. So this is 1,000 Karen Hill Tribe youth, and this is their youth camp. All right. So you can see the traditional outfits, and they are having their worship. And when you talk about I seriously mean it's more than 1,000 youths from different churches in all the different villages. Some of those kids, they ride motorbike about 11 hours in through up the mountains and some of the dirt tracks and stuff in order to get to camp. So nobody ever complained again about the 2-hour trip you have to go, or 3-hour trip to Malacca. Oh, see, Esther Montero like, paisei. No, so don't complain about that. I remember there was once, years ago, Sam will remember, I think Tina too, we had a combined church camp in Palace of the Golden Horses. It was a place in KL. Hannah also goes, it was crazy. We did that one where the entire youth, the entire Kus adult church, all like together, combined together to do one church camp. It was the craziest experience of my life in terms of the organization and everything. But one thing I remember, I was sitting right in this place, and there was one youth at that time, and he was like, "Huh, go camp, don't want lah." He's like pretty quite well off that kind. Then got aircon or not? Go out, yeah. But I cannot see other people. Leh. Like, huh? Why? He's like, "I'm very light sleeper. Can I have my own room?" Like, no, cannot have your own. Huh? You cannot have my own room? Can I pick who I want to sleep with? Like, no. It's like, why? You don't want to do that? So that I can know they don't snore. And he had all these like prerequisites, you know, hashtag first world problems, and all those kind of things which were like, this is a camp! You're not meant to be like super comfortable. These guys, right, the rule that they have when they have these kind of camps is, bring your own plate, bring your own fork, bring your own spoon. We don't have enough for you. You come and then worship. And you know where they sleep? They bring their own blanket, and the villagers, the church opens up the entire church. You sleep everywhere and not enough space. So the villagers around the entire, in that town or in the village, open up their homes and just welcome the youth. So you just sleep in their living rooms and stuff like that. So they just open up, you sleep down there, you go to share the toilet with whoever happens to be the owner of the home. Some of them sleep in the hostel down there, and my wife can attest to that. The last time round, we were down there at 4 a.m. and sleeping halfway, and she has this huge loud screaming sound like, ee! And she thought, what a stupid dream. Then she realizes as she slowly wakes up, it's not a dream, this sound is really down there. And at 4 a.m. they are killing the pig for the meal the next day. So like you can hear the dying squeals, or and then finally died. And then like you're traumatized by this sound, and then for breakfast, pork. And I will tell you, it's the best pork I've ever had. Seriously. And because they also grow their own vegetables and everything there. Chua's not around today. Is John Chua around? John Chua, are you here? No, John Chua went to that place, and there's a photo of him with like the biggest plate of awesome jackfruit, no smell, super super sweet, and that place, just God's blessed that place, seriously speaking. And I want you guys to continue to look beyond the surface, because a lot of the times we have let our own paradigms, our own mindsets, our own like comfort in how we live stop us from actually getting deeper with people. And see, a lot of the time, and this is a quite cliche thing sometimes, but in iceberg, when you see about the success, you won't see how much goes into success. When you talk about looking beyond the surface, look at the amount of work some of these folks had to go through or suffer through in order to get where they went. So please learn to continue to understand the people that you're trying to reach out to. Understand the people who are on the ground. For those of you who are going on mission trips, the missionaries have plowed a lot, and it's very difficult for them to be where they are already. So sometimes it's important not to judge too quickly what they're going through. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. It says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." This is very, very important. I cannot emphasize this enough, that we have this tendency sometimes to just look at the surface. And when we look at the surface too much, it sometimes blocks us from seeing what the real needs of a person can be, or the real hurt that a person has, or the real talent or worth of a person as well. That was a few years ago. My parents would be missionaries as well. My dad has this story where he brings his mission team into one of the Thai villages, and there's this old man, you know, like quite scraggly looking with a beard and everything, like his teeth are real broken up and like quite dirty. And some of these mission team members were youth, like, and they're like talking to each other, and they assume that they think that this guy, being this way he is, like, cannot understand English. So he's English, look at this guy, so dirty, ugly, so, you know, his teeth like that, da 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 da, and really like just saying how gross the chap is. Then the chap turns around, and he's actually like one of the village elders. He turns around and says, in perfect English, "I understand exactly what you're saying. Because this guy, even though he looks that way, he used to fight and work with the American military during the Vietnam War. So he speaks perfect American English, probably better than some Singaporeans." And malu, embarrassed, totally destroys the credibility, not just of the team, but of the missionary who brings them there, because you make assumptions about the person's worth, the person's value, based on physical outward appearance. So my encouragement again to you guys is, don't look just on the surface. It's very easy to. It's the closest thing to your eyes. The one word or sound that for me as a missionary, when mission teams come up, which I cannot stand, the one word is It's the most like, if you really want to say and you come to Mission View, don't come. Because it's not Singapore. Hygiene levels, different. Food levels, different. Cost of living or standard of living, different. Know this and understand this before you want to come anywhere, because that is very, very important. Whenever you reach out to anyone, even in Singapore, you say, "We want to help the poor." And it's like, do you know why they were poor? Do you know what they're struggling with? What are they suffering with? Or are you just going to say, "Oh, I see you're poor. Nah, here's some bread." No, you need to go deeper. Go deeper into what they want, what they know, what they need, what ails them, what hurts them. And that is so important to do. And don't just say, "Ayo, poor thing." And don't come to them with an air or a spirit of superiority. We don't go to them and say, "Poor thing, I'm better than you, so I must help you." And while it might even be true, that is not the attitude or spirit we should be coming with anyway. We come with love, we say we come with grace and care in our hearts. That's what we should come with. Not trying to make yourselves feel better, not helping because you want to like boost your own ego. Things are not always as they seem. And we need to understand that our values and their values might be different. And we cannot judge other people for their values. Whether they are different culture, whether they have a different social standing, whether they have a different financial standing as well. 2 years back, some of the people that had a mission team come up. I think Sam was on that team. Sam came up and they were like, went to visit the hill tribes. And in fact, we went to that place and there were some nice cute puppies and dogs and stuff like that. And very cute. So, I play with them. Very cute, cute. Then they went back. Then about 2 years ago or a year ago, Kus Chinese Ministry, Pastor Chris, sent a team up. So I was like, bring them down there. Then I asked the pastor, they were there, and there was like one grown dog. Play with the dog. Then I was like, "Hey, what happened to all the other puppies? Very cute, cute one." And like, "Well, where they grew up, and then what happened to them?" So the pastor was like, those dogs, one of the dogs went and eat one of our chickens. So my son got angry at the dog. As punishment, we ate the dog. And then one of them is playing with the last dog. They're like, and I also like, don't know what to say. And again, eat dog. And I know there's been a lot of stuff on the internet about eating dog, and I don't crucify me because I'm not a pro or against or whatever like that. I also say that, I mean, it's partially because we have relationships with these animals, lah. If you have a relationship with a chicken, you're not gonna eat the chicken either. Okay? The main point here is that I don't want people to start judging again based on a particular culture's tradition of eating something. And they don't, it's not, and don't get me wrong, the one like in China, they torture them and put them inhumanely. I agree, that's not very nice. I don't agree with that either. But in this case, they literally just, for eating, it's like for, like a farm, you know, they eat it the same way they eat the pig, they eat the chicken, they eat the fish, they eat the dog. So, but for their mission team, suddenly they were frozen. Like, how do I react? And my advice to you, don't know, don't say. Don't know what to say, don't say better. Don't go, ha, ee, ho, or whatever. No, don't need to make any kind of noises whatsoever. Understand again, some cultural sensitivities and people still have their pride. People still have their own emotions and feelings. So my encouragement to you again on that one, when you look beyond the surface, look to the emotions and look to the dignity of people, whether poor or not. There are so many things that I cannot begin to emphasize to you how much you are blessed with here. Not just as Singaporeans, but even as Singaporean Christians. I was just talking to some of the people recently, and it was quite interesting. Wow, how are churches in Thailand? And sometimes I meet a lot of Singaporeans who are like, I want to go in mission field, but I don't feel ready enough. I don't feel good enough. It's like, why? It's like, oh, I don't feel trained enough. I'm like, trust me, do you know most of you guys here have more training than some of the adults in Thailand or in Cambodia or in Vietnam and Laos and Burma? We've been to some of these places. You have more knowledge because you've been blessed with a fantastic church that gives you fantastic resources, with leaders who are well-equipped, who will then mentor you, equip you. There are pastors in rural villages which pastor a church of maybe 10 to 20 people. They struggle like crazy, but like, no, you'll do it. We have cell leaders here that have more than 20 people in their cell. You have more experience than you think. Because you've been blessed with this place. You've been blessed with good teaching, good preachers, resources, the opportunity to go for conferences that other people might not go for, to have amazing pastors visit this church, amazing pastors visit Singapore. You can go to a conference and hear them out as well. The amount of blessing and privilege that you guys as Christian youth is second to none. And you're not persecuted. In fact, it's probably safer to be a Christian here than even in the United States right now. It's probably easier to be a Christian here than in Europe right now. For a lot of different reasons. At this same church camp, the Korean youth camp, it was the most funny thing. So the pastor who runs this camp, and these youth come from all over the region, and so he comes and goes, all right guys, there, you know, you have all the camp rules, you know, no girls go visit the boys' room and all that kind of stuff. But then suddenly, at the end of the whole thing, and halfway through the camp, he goes, if you guys see a girl that you like, tell me. I will help you get her number. This is the pastor of the whole thing, alright? And if you girl sees a girl, got chemistry with the guy, like, tell me. Then I was like, what are you doing? This is so inappropriate in my mind, lah. But I talked to him and he's like, Thailand is less than 1% Christian. Less than 1%. This means the chances of one of them finding a Christian partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, is so slim. Dude, I don't know who anyone do here fantastic stats and maths. Think of the odds, alright? So, if that is the case, he was saying, I can oversee this and help try to find Christian partners for each other. If not, the odds are they go out, find someone who's not a Christian, and screw up their lives. And it's true. We have met a lot of single moms in our church. There are a lot of them, and we're trying to find ways to minister to them. We have single parents in various places. A lot of
backslided Christians who backslided because they married pre-believers. They were like, no choice, ma. I'm like, got choice lah. But it's very, very difficult. One of our friends who, one of our youth leaders is now engaged. He lives in Chiang Mai. He had to go to Bangkok to find his fiance. That's 8-hour drive away, 1-hour flight. So it's not easy. And so suddenly a lot of things, a lot of paradigms that we have are like, turned upside down. Things that we take for granted. I'm only sharing this because Pastor Victor Sid heard this story from me. He's like, you must tell the youth. Say, appreciate the fact. Some of them, they got so many choices, they go make the wrong choice outside still. He's like, that's what Pastor Victor was telling me to tell you guys. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. You have like a buffet here, so many churches in Singapore, less than 1 hour drive to any church here. You can make, you can get a boyfriend or girlfriend who's Christian, and you go find another one out there, which is like totally salah. So it's like, come on! Appreciate what you have, guys. Seriously! So, note to self, if you want, you see a girl you like, what you do? Go find Pastor Sam or Tina, and say, can I have a number? And then they'll say, no! You are not ready. Or, maybe. Or, no, I choked first. No, I'm kidding. It's like, or, here's your queue number. Okay. We all have lots and lots of different perspectives. We have lenses. There's a nice set of teachings that talk about using, looking at people through God's love lenses. But the main point right now is that you have things that filter your paradigms. You have things that filter your eyesight, and you see things through different. All of us do. Our past experiences have caused us to have different lenses or filters that stop us from seeing things clearly or the way God wants to see them. So just like what you guys are going to do for the next month or so, the Bible tells us to go love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And so we all gear up ourselves, get ready to reach out and love. You know, love. And then suddenly you realize, do you know what love is? We had a freshman camp in Thailand. What they do is I don't have a thing for this one. But we had a freshman camp in Thailand for the university students. What happens is that as part of their orientation, they have to actually go and stay at the Buddhist temple for about 2 or 3 days and do some rituals. However, if you have enough Christians, then one of the Christian lecturers, thank God, was brave enough. He said, I will take the Christians and we'll do our own camp. So we went to do it. When we did it, we helped them try to get some good ideas and good values into them before they go into university, into the dorms there. And Thai universities are mad compared to Singapore. If you think Singapore, like all the orientation, rough housing was bad, they got, NTU got in trouble, right? There's nothing on Thailand, I tell you. Okay, it's like maybe 10 times or 20 times worse. Okay? And so, we asked one of the questions, you think it's okay for boyfriend and girlfriend to sleep together or not? And 80% of the people that are all Christian say, yes, if we love each other, yes. Then the person who was facilitating it is a Thai youth leader, like, alamak, that's not exactly what I was looking for. That was not the answer I was looking for. Like, Josh, help me. So I asked them, it's like, so where, when you say yes, if you love each other, where does your definition of love come from? And all of them said, movies. So their definition of love is a guy can meet a girl from total stranger, know each other well enough, say I love you, have sex, and live happily ever after within an hour and a half or 2 hours, because that's the length of a movie, right? So unless you're watching The Notebook, which is so I refuse to watch The Notebook in detail. I looked at the length and said, don't want already. Okay, and like, you know, the back of the DVD, like 2 hours, no. So the point is that our assumptions of love, our definition of love, what we think is love, has been tainted, has been influenced, and lenses have come down upon our eyes by the media, by everything that we see in the movies. And it's not your fault, okay? I mean, this is the world that we live in right now. It's the world that we live in, but however, it's wrong. And we need to find a way to change the lens, to take that speck out of our eyes, if we are intending to love people the right way and reach out to people the right way. Luke chapter 6 verse 42 is a very famous verse. It says, how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take out the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Okay, the original context of this verse is meant to say that don't anyhow say other people unless you say yourself first. Okay? It's in English. So, however, I'm here not to emphasize that particular part. I'm here to emphasize the fact that you need to take the speck out of your own eye if you want to be successful in reaching out in order to love. Because the prerequisite of being able to successfully love your neighbor is to first love yourself properly. And for whatever reason it is, many of the times, a lot of us are unable to do that properly. And I mean not love yourself in a narcissistic fashion, like, oh, I love me. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that you're able to know and love yourself the way God loves you and sees you, know your value, know your worth, know your abilities and your and who you are in Christ. And sometimes, because we are unable to do that, we leave that speck in our eye, or sometimes it's even a log, okay, in our eye, and still try to love people with that speck in our eye. And have you ever had a speck in your eye? Have you ever, you know, like, oh, the sand, or, you know, go to the beach and got a piece of sand go in your eye. How many of you ever had something stuck in your eye? Put your hand, go sand or whatever. It bloody hurts, okay? It really, really hurts. That little kuchi mayong thing can hurt you so badly, and yet at the same time, right, it's irritating and stuff. Can you imagine, if you have a speck in your eye, we're not just talking about the fact that your vision is impaired. A speck in your eye hurts you. What happens when you're in pain and you're hurting? You are cranky, you're irritable, you are not the same person that you should be. You are sometimes angry. If you're pain, you're panicking, you're flailing around, scratching it. And what happens if you scratch, you're like, rub your eye when there's a piece of sand in your eye? What happens? It makes, like mother, like, see, I'm a father of two kids, like, don't do that! Why? Because you'll make it worse, and, but it's itchy! And that's the thing we do sometimes, it's itchy! Or it's pain! And rather than try to find the right methods which can hurt, we sometimes just try to do other things. And behave really crankily because we're in pain. And when you do that, you are completely unable to love the way God wants you to love. Don't ever discount or like poo-poo the idea of a speck in your eye. A speck can do a lot of damage to your eye. And as the speck stays there longer and longer, it gets more painful. It does more damage. You become more irritable. You become depressed. You're going to be an angry person in one way or another, or at least you're definitely not going to be able to see right. Guys, I really want you to go beyond your senses. Go beyond mindsets, because that's the only way you'll be able to help people, help yourself, and help other people heal, and help yourself heal as well. There are many, many times that the only thing you can do in order to be useful to God is if you're first willing to acknowledge your flaws, your weaknesses before God and allow Him to transform us into the people that He wants us to be. Not the image that we think we should be, but what God wants us to be. So we all have an ideal look for ourselves. An ideal representation of who we should be, but it's not always the case, and we have to look at what God wants us to be instead. It means being humble enough to go before God and His representatives in the form of your pastors, your leaders, and ask them for their feedback and advice about ourselves, and being humble enough to take that feedback without being offended or defensive, because all they want to do is help you get the speck out. And let's be honest, whether it's a speck or, you know, it's a log or something stuck in you, taking it out will hurt. In many cases, dealing with your flaws can hurt. But if you don't, the damage is greater. You know, if let's say you have a knife stuck in your shoulder, I say chest, but you die, but shoulder, and like, come, let me help you with it. Don't want. Why? It hurts. Doesn't it hurt with it in there already? Yeah, but if you touch it, even worse. But if you touch it in the long term, it can heal. If a thing stays there, your wound gets infected. It festers. You can get gangrene. For those of you in medical or do first aid or whatever, if you have gangrene, you infection, you can lose your whole arm, you can lose a whole leg, you can die from infection from gangrene and things like that. And this is where the humility part is very important. Be willing to be humble. Be willing to say, I want to get healed. I want to be free of this pain. I want to be free of my lenses or whatever is trying to impair me. And be humble enough to go to your leaders and say, Pastor, what do you think? Is there anything I can do to improve? Cell leader, is there anything I should try to work on? My behavior, the way I treat people, the way I talk to people. And when you do that and you're willing to be humble enough, that's where you'll be able to grow, have clear and proper vision, and be useful, and be a person that God can really use. If you're not willing to, a lot of time, because of that, you're not willing to take instruction. The speck in our eye stops us from taking instructions, stop us from being a team player, stops us from listening to leadership. If you are that kind of person, God can't use you. A mission team can't use you. An outreach team can't use you. We need to get ourselves right before God before we attempt to get right, get other people help. So, for some of you, those specks in your eyes might be hurting you and impairing your vision. These might have been caused by other people. You might have been taught the wrong thing. People might have called you the wrong thing. It might be parents, it might be friends even. Some of you might be hurting from those specks to the point where or maybe you're even used to the pain of that speck that you think it's normal. Nah, I've just got to live with it. No, God doesn't want you to live with it. God doesn't want you to live with pain. He wants you to live a full and healthy life, pain-free. The speck might come in many forms. Pride, it could be anger, unforgiveness. It could be the insistence that you're going to be right all the time. And some of you might need healing for those specks. Or ask God to take it away, heal the scars, heal the wounds from there. But regardless, my encouragement to you guys is to check yourself. Check yourself. You have pastors. Accountability is very important. Check yourself with your leaders. Check yourself with your pastors, yourself as a leader. Even your friends. Sometimes your friends know you better than anyone else, and they know things about you, but they don't dare to say because you might be offended. Be willing to say, tell me, come, please tell me. And mean it lah. I mean, and be promised. No, I don't tell you. You're angry at me. No, I won't be angry at you. Then okay, here it is. How dare you say that about me? No, come on. If you really are honest and open about it, you have to pull back. Check yourselves and ensure that you are right with God before you go and start trying to connect others to God. God can definitely use all of us, even if we're not perfect, okay? I'm not saying all of you must be like angels or perfect before you go out and reach out. Otherwise, if that's the case, nobody will ever go out. But the point is that you have a responsibility to ensure that you are the best that you can be and you're trying your best to be that person that God wants you to be before you go out. Keep trying. I'm not saying stop, don't do anything, but get better. I strongly encourage that from you guys right now because I've seen so many different cases of people who have a great heart, want to do good, but because they keep letting the specks or keep letting their wounds get in their way, they are never able to be the best person that God wants them to be or even be a great minister or be a great testimony. I have seen some people with excellent hearts. All of us have different journeys. Some of you might have heard Pastor Sam's testimonies as well. I mean, we all fall down. We all make mistakes. We are all going to struggle with different things. But with the right motivation and intention to get better, then that's where God really will help you out. And that was the burden on my heart. I'm sorry I'm rushing through this, but this is the burden on my heart right now. That if you feel that something is holding you back from being able to love people properly, or maybe a lot of your friends always say, why are you always like that one? I encourage you to come to the front maybe and just give it to God. I'll pray for you. The pastors and the cell leaders will pray for you. For those of you who feel that there's some speck in your eyes or feeling impaired, or why can't I love? Or why can't I love myself? You don't feel valued. You don't feel your worth. Come up. I want to pray for you too. But the most important thing, guys, in the midst of all of this excitement of mission teams, of outreach, don't forget that you want to give God your best. You have to be in the right place yourself. Check yourself. I cannot emphasize that enough. And let's emphasize the importance of accountability to your friends, your leaders, your peer, your pastors, your parents, especially if they're believers, even if they're not. Can I have the ministry team up here? The worship team, sorry. And the ministry team can come up as well. So leaders and pastors, unless you want prayer too. And even as we spend this time to just worship a bit, I would really, really like you guys to check yourselves right now. All of us, just close our eyes and ask God, God, what do I need to change about my vision? Am I really looking at things through your lenses? Or have I lost sight of something, or is something impairing my vision along the way? Is it my attitude? Is it perhaps past hurt or unforgiveness? Is it because I don't even believe in myself in the first place? Show me, Lord. Holy Spirit, show us what we need to change. Show us the specks in our eyes that may need to be cleared out. Take those specks out. Heal wounds. And allow the Lord to just move deeper and deeper into us. Let's just all rise to our feet. We had a great time at worship early on, and whatever values or different lies that might have been told to us as we grew up, we want to just reject them right now. In the time of when I was as a pastor here, I've met some youths who really have some very weird values and some very weird, like, logical thinking patterns. And it's not even their fault. It's because they had dysfunctional families, they were abused as children, and that causes and forms weird value systems and weird patterns. They think that families should fight. It's normal. Or like being beaten, being punched by your dad is normal. You know, that kind of thing. So these are the kind of things that sometimes can become weird lenses as well. Ask the Holy Spirit to continue to just speak this into you. This might go on for the next few days, next few weeks or whatever. And think about it. And let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. Talk to your leaders again. They might have advice for you, suggestions for you too. So even as we worship, those of you who want prayer for that, or for anything for that matter, healing or anything, please do come forward. I do believe that the Lord has something special for every one of you here.
Come, why don't we all close our eyes for a moment? I know for sure that the Holy Spirit is putting His finger on actually many of our hearts. I urge us not to ignore that or think that is something that we can put aside for later. Because when the Holy Spirit put His finger on your heart, it is for now. And every time we choose to put it aside for a moment, actually what we do is this: we harden our hearts to the Holy Spirit such that when He does speak to us again, we may not be able to discern. So when you respond to this call, it is absolutely about your walk with God. In you saying that, I want to be so sensitive to everything the Holy Spirit has to say. Okay, I know that Pastor Josh talked about how we want to minister to everybody, but I also want to put it out here to the leadership as well. I think in our body of Christ here, different one of us hold different kinds of baggages. Some of us as leaders, I'm a leader, so I understand. Yeah, you may feel so tired sometimes, wearied by certain things that perhaps were said to you. We have baggages maybe from members, we have baggages from leaders, from family, from all around. And I think for us members here, we have baggages from all around as well. But these baggages are like specks in our eyes that hurt us from seeing God and each other rightly. So as we worship God, AJ is going to lead us. If you do have a baggage and you know, because the Holy Spirit is putting His finger on your heart, I urge you to just come. You can kneel, put it at the altar, and do that private business with God first. It's not about having someone come to pray with you. When you come forward, you do two things. The first thing is you release forgiveness, because the word says, unless we forgive, God also won't forgive us, right? Because we take His grace in vain. The second thing you do is to repent of holding on to a baggage that God has long ago called you to release. So when you come forward, your private time with God, two things. First thing, forgiveness. That helps you to take out the blade. Second thing, repentance. That helps Him to wash your wound. And these two things are always together. It cannot be separate. Okay? So we're going to just worship. If that is you, I want to urge you to come forward.
That catches my fall, and You are the friend that answers my call. You are my day, and You are my night. You are my
your normal canned responses and all the cookie cutter prayers. For you ministers as well, open your ears, hear from God about the individual person's needs and wants. Exercise your ability to look through God's eyes for each individual.
And You have my soul.
stand with each person that responded today to your call. And God, repent of our hardness before you, for having held on to many earthly things that you never called us to hold on to. How can we see the King of Glory, or how can we see a revival if our hearts are not clean? But God, you come and do the healing that our hearts require. The Lord, you heal us of our dishonor. Lord, you heal us of our hurts. And God, you heal us of all our baggages. I know some of us here want to put it down, but things hold on to you, and you find that you open your palm, but they hold on to you. God, we ask for your power to set every captive free. There is only by the fire and power of the Holy Spirit that healing comes. It is not our might. And God, today all we can do is come before you to say, God, we recognize you as our healer. We recognize you as our Savior. We call you Savior because we cannot save ourselves. But we kneel before you and say, God, you are our Savior because you save us from everything we require saving from. And that's what we praise you as a ministry for. So Holy Spirit, come. You have put your finger on the different hearts of the people who are in front. And even some of us who perhaps could not find the strength to walk forward, God sees the struggle that you have. And would you do a deep circumcision of our hearts, God? Would you do a deep healing work, a surgery work to remove the barbs that hold some of us captive? And God, you do the work that clean, that cleanse, thoroughly so. As AJ continues to just play forward, I would just like for leaders, if you know some of the people who are in front, just come and stand with them and just speak God's character over them. Just speak who God is over them and affirm that they are restored in His eyes as well.
Father, will you not harden our hearts? Lord, in the presence of a healer, what are coping mechanisms, God? Lord, in the presence of a healer, we honor you by being vulnerable and broken before you, letting you search our hearts, letting you put your finger on our hearts. Father, whatever has been surfaced up today, Lord, help us give it back to you. Lord, help us continue to open our hearts. Lord, we want to believe that you have healed us today. God, we want to believe that you are our healer. Lord, and most importantly, we want to trust you. God, we honor you, even in our forgiveness. Lord, I can only imagine how much hurt so many of us carry. Lord, we honor you by choosing to forgive so that we can be right before you. Shall we all lift up our hands before the Lord? God, into your hands, Lord, we commit ourselves again. Lord, all the hands across the auditorium reaching out for you. Lord, holding you close to us. Father, I pray for every hand that is raised. Lord, will there be healing that just sweeps across the auditorium, Lord? Lord, will there be closure, Lord, for things that have happened in the past, even right now, God? Pray, Lord, that even right now, things are just shown through your perspective. Lord, you show every one of us where you were in those times, God. All the lies that we have believed about ourselves, God, I pray you start to surface it up, Lord. Start to replace it with truth. Lord, replace it with verses in the Bible, Lord, that tell us who we are. So I commit everyone into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.whos.org.sg. God bless.